All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on the phone now with a gentleman that has really showed some moves of lately. This gentleman's Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, that would be me.
Well, you doing okay right now?
Yes, I am. I'm not one to complain, and I don't usually have much to complain about either.
Well, that's good. That's good. As of late, you have been on the move. You're hopscotching from one indie show to another indie show, and I noticed that you're on the East Coast, the West Coast, and sometimes in Canada.
Yeah, even Japan. I'm not one to really go after the independent scene. That's just a little here and there, keeping myself busy while I've been through with ECW. Nobody expected ECW to fold until it was inevitable, and I also didn't expect to have that much time off of full-time wrestling. There was a time a couple years ago when there was a big three, and any wrestler of reasonable status, if they were off one show, by the next couple days, by the next Monday at the latest, they'd appear on somebody else's show, and now, of course, there's only one show.
Yeah, that's right. There's just one show in town, and either you work for them or you're wanting to work for them. That makes me think back to how many years before ECW, and when did you get started, and could you tell me a little bit about that early history?
Sure. I got interested in becoming a pro wrestler at an early age, and I just followed my dreams and set my goals and went for it from, like, probably age 14 or so on. And when I was 18, I ended up attending a wrestling school, being trained by the original Sheik, not the Iron Sheik. A lot of people don't want to go back another 20 years to remember the original Sheik, or it's hard for them to do it, but it was a very personal training. Him, his nephew Sabu, would train me, and there was like two other students. And sometimes someone would come through the school for a couple days, and they wouldn't see them again because it was a very stiff and snug school, and it really wasn't for a lot of guys. They'd come in and basically felt like they were getting beat up because really that's the way I got trained. I wouldn't have it any other way because I appreciate the end product. That was back in 89, had my first match sometime in 90 in Tennessee for USWA. And from there on, it was always good, just snowball effect. My name's getting out there, and then my picture's getting in magazines, and then other promoters are calling me. And over the next several years, I ended up wrestling from Tennessee to going to a territory in the Carolinas and down in Florida. After, of course, the Michigan and Ohio independence that I started on in Indiana. I wrestled for WCW in 93. I also started wrestling for All Japan in 93. I continued to wrestle on tours on and off till 97, and I did a short stint with WWF in 97. And most notable is my reign as the whole effing show in ECW for, I don't know, from January 96 until January 2001.
I tell you, I know what you're talking about when you talk about the Sheik and about being trained by someone like that. That shows up in your early work, and it shows up in the stuff that you do now. The fundamentals are so tremendous, and by you being trained by someone like the Sheik, then you got that old school mentality in you one way or another.
Exactly, and that's what's missing on so many young guys today, and it's sad because the people know there's something missing. The people, meaning the fans, you know, and even if they don't know what's missing, they just know they can't really get behind the guy, and that's because he doesn't have that old school training. He's just out there imitating moves that he's seeing me do. But, you know, that's that's something that I'm very fortunate to have had. It seems like in my generation, we seem to be like the last of the old school. There's more and more new guys, young guys coming up and getting into the business in ways never able to before, you know. But, yeah, definitely the Sheik taught me what was very important in the mindset and just really what it took, everything about wrestling. And I was a kickboxer before that, and I was very acrobatic, so I had that to add to the knowledge and training that Sheik gave me. And I used that throughout my career. I never patterned after anybody else. I always try to think of new moves that I hadn't seen anybody else do. That even includes a weightlifting record, doing the splits across two benches at the gym and taking up 166.5-pound dumbbell off the ground and holding it for a pose, the Van Dam lift. And so I think that the fans that I've gained along the way respect me for the same thing that I like about the business, and that's just being able to express myself and stand up. It's all good.
I tell you, some of those early people that you met in your careers, did one of them stand out more so than other? And if I drop this name, I want to see what your response is. Eddie Gilbert.
Eddie Gilbert. You know, Eddie Gilbert and I pretty much just missed each other in Tennessee. He was there a few days out of the, like, 5 weeks that I was wrestling down there. And I knew he was, like, a really big name. Everybody looked up to him, and he was definitely the star that would come in for a couple of special shows. But he wasn't with the regular boys that was there. And I can't think of why he would stand out, except for, of course, what he stands for now, at least in my mind, what I associate him with, just like a lot of my very close friends that I've made along the way, is a dead wrestler.
He in the South, we've seen him, you know, as his career developed, he every time he seemed to get his hand on the book, the gate started going up, and then TV got better. And I was thinking maybe by the time you got to ECW, you might have met him there.
Yeah, I believe I missed him there as well. I started in January of 96, and by that time, he had already been through there. Steve Austin had been through there. Cactus Jack had been through there, although I'd met those guys, you know, in other territories and been on the road with them. But thinking of that early times in ECW, I am glad to say that I was there with Brian Pillman. Yeah, Eddie Gilbert, yeah, so that's good to know. I'm sorry that I don't have more experience with him, but I can understand why he had such a following, such respect from his peers and fans.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Tennessee, you were at USWA, Jerry Lawler. What about Memphis stood out in your mind?
Well, it was a learning experience for me. I'd only had about a dozen matches before I went there. That was my first chance to wrestle every night on a loop. Of course, every Monday night was Memphis, every Tuesday was Louisville, Kentucky, every Wednesday was Evansville, Indiana. Thursday and Friday would be spot shows at the time, because Friday had been reserved for the Dallas trips for ESPN. When I got there, I believe it was the last week of the Dallas run, and then this new group, Global, had gotten the ESPN time slot. It was a learning experience for me. I think about my first night in when at Nashville, which was Saturday nights, at the flea market where we would wrestle, I was debuting. This is my first match for them to make an impression, and I was wrestling against Chris Candido, who I'd never met before. The dressing rooms are on opposite sides of the building. There was, like, no meeting him until I stood in the ring with him in front of people. And we had a 20-minute time limit, which we took the entire 20 minutes. Later in the tour, Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony, this always stands out in my mind, he came up to talk to me as I had been there a little bit and was really getting over with the fans and I don't know, impressing somebody, I guess. Eric Embry had the book at the time. Dirty White Boy told me that first night that I came in, that he came over to talk to me, and when he heard that I was going to be wrestling with Chris Candido and go Broadway, and he told me that he heard me say, you know, I only had a dozen matches. He was rolling his eyes, thinking, geez, you know, I don't expect much out of this. And he thought that match was great. He loved the split-legged moonsault that I did. And then since then, I was one of the best wrestling guys there and told me, you know, he was one of the guys that told me I had a bright future. So that stands out in my mind a lot. I was young, very young, so that was an important time for me to party and travel and have fun. Jeez, I was 20, I believe, I was 20 years old, so maybe even 19. So, yeah, I was very, very young at the time. And wrestled as Rob Zakowski, matter of fact.
Give me that name again.
Rob Zakowski.
Okay. Well, we've got some historians right around here where I live that I'll be pulling those tapes out and looking for that, because, be honest with you, I had heard the rumor that you had been through Memphis, but did not know the extent of exactly what you had done in Memphis. There's so many people that came through Memphis at one time or another that that's kind of the mecca for a lot of young early starters, of people to go and get a little taste of some action. At the time that you were there, the Memphis Monday night shows were drawing probably 3,000 to 6,000 every Monday night, weren't they?
They were up there like that. Louisville stands out in my mind as being the biggest crowd. In Memphis, they were in the smaller building. If my memory serves me right, there was the Pipkin Center, I believe. But there was a big Coliseum, and there was a smaller one right next to it. And they were packing the place, but they were in the smaller one and only using the big one for the real special shows at that time. So for them, I believe maybe they were maybe on their way down a little bit, which may or may not have had something to do with the ESPN deal, I don't know. But yeah, I was definitely impressed with the crowds. And matter of fact, when I left there for my next territory in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was so disappointed to find out that not every territory was going to be happening like that. I thought I was going to a new group of people with big arenas, different, wrestlers, and ended up walking into an armory with like two rows of chairs around the ring, and they couldn't even sell that out. So yeah, USWA was doing very good. It would have been summer of 91, now that I think about it. So another historian to look there.
Okay. Well, I grew up watching Memphis wrestling and also watching the Leroy McGirt territory, Bill Watts Mid-South. Speaking of historians, did you ever watch the old tape of the old Mid-South, what Bill Watts was doing all the way back to like 1978 through 1986? Were you one of the people that would watch the tape and get an idea of what came before you?
I did not see very much of that. I've had like one or two nights of somebody showing that to me, and I saw wrestlers that I was watching, wrestling when they were starting out. And I remember like Rick Rude and Jake the Snake and some of these guys. I was impressed to see how long they've been wrestling, because the footage was so old that I was looking at. But definitely, I'm not an expert on the era.
Okay. Well, the old school mentality that you spoke of and what you say that is missing, it ties way back. It's a formula that these early guys, these guys today that go in and supposedly call themselves getting trained, but they go to the indie scene and they're missing something. Well, it's what exactly you said. It's something they're missing. And now we're talking about today, modern time, the indie scene and the territories, we all know they're dead. But the indie scene is really hurting in a bad sort of way. And you've seen that from your travels around the country. It's hard to get a crowd to come out to see wrestling right now, and that's sad.
Well, unless you got Rob Van Dam on the card.
Well, there you go. There you go. That's going to get me segue right into exactly what will Rob Van Dam be doing in the next couple of weeks. I'm hearing that you're going to be headed to WWF.
It looks like I will be signing with WWF to wrestle for the WCW, because, of course, it's the same company, that one show that you either work for or you don't, that we were talking about. It's not official now, regardless of some of the reports, but it looks very good. There's very little stopping this from happening right now. It's just a matter of dotting a couple of I's and crossing some T's.
Okay. Well, just coming from me, I can tell you, I've seen a lot of tape on you. I've seen a lot of footage from ECW, and I remember the time that you did make a showing in the WWF. Matter of fact, Jerry Lawler was talking about you being a Mr. Monday Night. You remember that, don't you?
Of course.
The thing that stood out, though, and I see it happening for you, is once you get on TV, I see you exploding and just really, really moving to the top. And I tell you, I'm real, real honored that you interviewed with me. This is Buddy Huggins. This is Mid-South Wrestling Memories Radio Talk Show. We are talking to Rob Van Dam. And if you want to elaborate on exactly what kind of mark you think you're going to make, being, if that's not the right word, on WWF being WCW, the new WCW, what do you see for yourself?
Well, I'm hoping that you're right. I'm hoping that when I get on TV, that when I walk through those curtains, I'm hoping that the fans, just like they do whether I'm wrestling in Florida or in Michigan or in New York or whatever, I'm hoping that the fans will be hearing RVD, RVD, from when I come through that curtain all the way through when I go back. And if they do that, then I hope, like you said, I hope I explode, not literally into spontaneous human combustion, because that would shorten my career, of course. But, yeah, I'm hoping that there's a big payoff in it for me, because this potentially is a very good opportunity for me to take over the whole wrestling business.
Well, I see you being one of the main top players here in the next couple of months, and I'm going to tell you, from coming from a Southern style, Southern based guy like myself, WCW needs this time right off the bat. They need something special, so it looks like they went and they got Rob Van Dam to help fill that bill. But you got your work cut out, because wrestling seems to be in a down cycle, and if you can turn that around for the new WCW, you're going to be much loved, much appreciated here in the South. But remember your old school roots. You can never sell the people short. And I know you from watching your tapes and seeing your moves. You do everything 120%.
That's right. That's because I got to get something out of it, too. I like to entertain my fans, and like I said, it seems like they appreciate the same thing that I do out of it. For that, I have to work my ass off so I enjoy my job. So I'm going to continue doing that, no doubt. No doubt there'll be some adjustments, because instead of wrestling 30 minutes every night, some of the matches will be shorter. There's more pressure on the fitting into the TV time slot, you know, and this is all the stuff I learned back in, when I was on WWF before, like you mentioned, back in 97 as Mr. Monday Night, and make some adjustments, and I'll still stand out. I'll stand out like the whole effing show.
There you go. Well, I sure appreciate you interviewing with me, Mr. Rob Van Dam. And after you become a great, big, famous superstar all across the world, I want you to get back with me sometime in the next 6 months to a year and fight your way back through the crowd and remember who I am down here in Mississippi and call back to so we can interview and get an update on you in about 6 months to a year. And let's see if everything that I say is going to be true for Rob Van Dam. And I'll put this up on the website, and I'll keep a link to your website. Your website is robvandam.com?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, we want to make that connection so everybody know exactly what's fixing to happen. The whole effing show is headed for the big time.
That's right, and that's me, everybody's favorite wrestler. I appreciate it, Buggy. Buggy, how about that? I can bind Buddy Higgins together. Hey, buddy.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. This has been your favorite wrestler, Rob Van Dam.
Thank you.